Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and more stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. Today is our Valentine's show, and we've been doing this show, I think this is the third year, and boy, it's always a good barometer, Valentine's Day, to see for our listeners out there, do they feel the same way they did last year about the relationship? Either is it still fabulous, or last year did you feel like, oh, I'm married and there's no card that says this relationship stinks, or are you... Or are you still single and saying, why am I alone? It's really a good time to just, you know, assess where you are in your relationship. And I know I'm very happy with mine. Nicole, how about with yours?
Oh, I'm actually better this year than I was last year.
Better, okay. And can
better
you explain how you're better? In what ways and how?
Well, basically, like last year, and I'm sorry if you're getting an echo because I'm actually in an empty room right now because I'm actually at a family party. But, you know, basically last year, me and my girlfriend, you know, we were together and it was all fresh and new and it was exciting. And I guess because of my previous experience, I didn't want to get, you know, too fresh and too excited and things like that. You know, so I was a little bit more reserved than, you know, last year than I was this year because I was really, in a lot of senses, waiting for the other shoe to drop, which was the biggest mistake I could have ever made. And then finally, you know, I decided to take that cloak off and I decided to, you know, remove that veil. You know, it wasn't until, I'm going to say, maybe April, where I just kind of, like, let it go and I just, like, let the relationship evolve the way that it was supposed to. So last year, I was like, you know, I really, really feel something, but I was, like, fighting it. This year, I'm, like, full-blown, like, I'm absolutely crazy about my girlfriend. We are so in love. You know, we're talking family and marriage and future, and it's a lot better than I ever, ever expected it would be. So this Valentine's Day, I can't wait, you know?
So from my commitment phobic Nicole to a committed relationship Nicole, wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful because, you know, I remember, you know, you weren't even calling it a relationship at first and you weren't doing this and, you know, you took those steps and then I remember that great quantum leap you took and look at yourself right into wonderful arms and I'm really glad that and anyone who just even utters the word, grant me a higher love, God really wants to grant us that higher love, but what are we going to do with it when we get it is the problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the time, though, like, it's like in the very beginning, I wasn't calling it a relationship, you know, because, you know, I still had issues that I needed to work through, you know. So, like, in the very beginning, you know what, this is my significant other, you know, this is, you know, the person I'm spending time with, you know, we were dating. But me and my girlfriend, now, we did, you know, something that's very, very great that a lot of people, you know, sometimes don't do. You know, usually, like, people meet and they you know, kind of just, like, jump into things if they get along. You know, me and her, we didn't do that. We literally casually dated each other for a year before we even called it, you know, what it was. You know, and you know, she was keeping me, you know, aware of where she was at. I was keeping her aware of what I was at, what my fears were, what her fears were. So we really, really built on a very, very great foundation because, you know, I was like, you know, certain things bothered me, you know, from my previous relationship. So, you know, I would say to her, you know what, I'm a little bit tentative here because I've been burned, you know, this way. And, you know, and she said, okay, you know, I completely understand. And then she would do the same thing with me. So while we were in the final stages of our healing process, we were really like a shoulder for each other to lean on. Not that I recommend that for everybody, but we were both ready to move forward and move on. It was just a matter of letting go of the last of that hurt. You know, so when we came into it, you know, it was, hey, listen, I've been hurt, you've been hurt, let's, you know, let's be single and just enjoy our time together and see how we are. And then it was okay, you know, and a couple of months later, she's like, you know what, she's like, I got to tell you, you know, I appreciate the fact that we're both able to be together when we're together and not be together when we're not together, but, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with, you know, with you know, I don't know what I had said, you know, at that point or whatever. I said that I had gone out or whatever with somebody else. And she's like, you know what, I'm a little not comfortable knowing that. For, you know, it's bothering me now, whereas a couple months ago it didn't. I said, okay, fine. You know what? I'll keep that to myself. And then she's like, okay, fine. You know, then it was, you know, well, what are you doing when I'm not around? And we slowly but surely graduated into this full-blown relationship where we're just so communicative with one another. You know, we never fight. We disagree. And then, you know, we just sit there. We're like, okay, fine. You think this way. I think that way. We come to a happy medium always. There's nothing that we can't work through. And here we are, you know, just about another year later. So 2 years from the time that we met, but 1 year in a committed relationship and 1 year of just dating. And we've got a fabulous relationship that gets better by the day.
Right. And you were doing a love relationship radio show every week.
Yeah.
So I would say that kind of guided you, because anyone who listens to our show, even myself and Nicole, get guidance. We need, so there were times when Nicole would be saying, oh, I think that show message was for me.
Yeah.
And of course it was.
Well, what's also really, really great about it, you know, about doing this show, it's not only the information that you're giving to other people and the information that you're getting for other people that is sometimes bestowed upon you and I, Cindy, it's also a matter of that sometimes when you're looking at your own behaviors, you can't take enough of a step back from your own behaviors to really see what those behaviors are. You know, and when we're on a radio show, we're sitting there and we're talking to people and people are sharing their innermost thoughts with us. And when you physically are seeing somebody else make the same mistake that you're making, you really sit there and you go to yourself, wow, that's what I'm doing. And it just comes to full light for you at that point. You know, so it really, really gets to be, you know, educational for you, you know, for us, not only in the guidance that you receive from the other side, but also in listening to what other people have to say. And to see how other people are, you know, erring in their ways, because you can most often see it in other people than you can yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we do have some callers tonight, and of course,
yes,
I don't know who 207 is. We didn't screen any of these calls, so
they've been waiting the longest. All right. Well, we're going to go over to the 207 area code, and just so you know, we're speaking to you. The last four digits are going to be 6036. So let's see what they have to say over there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I just called for a question.
Sure, absolutely. And your first name is?
My name is Tom.
Okay, Tom. And your question is?
When will I have the finances to move out of the place I'm at?
Okay, that's a good question. And the first card I got was a very good money card here. This is 2012 is supposed to be a good year for you. I could see the last maybe year or two hasn't been that great for you, but you seem to have learned from your experiences, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that's unfortunately, sometimes we have to learn the hard way, but this is very, very good money. You have a grandfather who died. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Because Grandpa looks showing very good money here, and, you know, the grandparents are a little apologetic right now because the values they taught that made them successful just aren't working in the 21st century. I mean, they really believed if, you know, you swept floors in Sears and you worked hard and Sears would be loyal to you, you're loyal to Sears, and 20 years from now you're a manager. The way the 21st century works is you're lucky if you're still sweeping floors tomorrow. So, you know, your grandpa believes in you, and the money looks very good. Do you have your own business?
No, I don't.
Are you ever thinking of having your own business? Because the bigger money in the future appears to be you working for yourself somewhere along the line here. And
yeah, I did make some money on my own, and I'd like to do that again.
But right now, it hasn't opened up yet. When is your birth date? You know, what day is when's your birthday?
January 27th.
Okay, so you just had a birthday pretty recently.
Yes.
Because the cards deal with a year that starts in January 1st for everybody, but it's more personally when your birthday starts for a year. This birthday year from January 27th to the next January 27th is going to be a very, very good year. And then you have after that a very good five-year period opening up in which you're pretty much the master of your destiny. So the finances look better. You know, try to be a little bit positive, because I know you are trying, but can you see yourself getting into a better place financially? Can you start to visualize that?
I'm already packing.
Okay, good. You can't get any more positive than that, but there is a very good move. You just need a little bit of courage hanging in there, and you know, this is going to be your year. So just, you're getting a lot of divine guidance. Do you feel it?
Oh, yes. I've been asking for it.
And sometimes it contradicts what we think divine guidance will sound like, because the true voice of spirit isn't one that tells us to take a lot of crap from people and everything. It pretty much tells us when enough is enough. And
yes.
Are you hearing it, enough is enough?
Already, yes.
Okay, because that's really, you know, you're a very loyal person. You've been loyal to a fault to people, and are you aware of that? You've
yes.
been very, very loyal. There's a point in which people have to deserve our loyalty, and you have a whole new life opening up for you. So you actually have really, really remarkable cards here. So, you know, you're working your way toward it. In the laws of attraction, you just need to see yourself in that new place. Do you know where you want to go to? Do you have a vision in your mind?
Not yet.
Okay, because that's the missing link. That's why the Chariot card is a card where you have anything you want for the next 5 years, but because you're not sure where you want to go, you're kind of like a hitchhiker out on the road, and where the card's going, you're going to go. God is asking you to be a little bit clearer where you want to be. And it's not your job, Tom, as an older soul, because you are an older soul. You've been around the planet a lot. Older souls are kind of, they can never visualize something without saying, but how am I going to get it? Where am I going to get the money? How's it? Your job is to see where you'd like to live and start watching the steps lead you to that place.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, you're having a little trouble because, you know, older souls really just can't envision that they don't have to make everything happen. So this is going to be your six-year period where anything you want is yours, including a better relationship. Are you hoping for that too?
Always.
Okay, because that's important because, you know, the better relationship, you know, even where you're moving is going to open up a whole new life for you. So think carefully where you want to be 5 and 6 years from now. Think career-wise, relationship-wise, and where you want to live, because you really don't have, God doesn't want to give you any more negative wake-up calls. It looks like you got a pretty big cosmic kick in your ass last year, and I think you're just down, you know, you've been on your knees and you're just like starting to stand up again. Let yourself guide you where you want to be going, and you're not really, you're due for only good things, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
Good luck to you, and thanks for calling in. And where were you calling from, by the way?
Northern Maine.
Oh, wow. I don't think we've gotten a call from Northern Maine ever.
No, I don't think we have.
Wow. So we love to hear from anyone from everywhere in the country. And, Tom, call back in and let us know when your move happens, because it really looks sooner than later.
Okay, I will.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was a good question, wasn't it? A new move.
Yes, it was.
We all got to say a little prayer for everybody who ever calls into our show that, you know, God be so kind and grant them their wishes, because most of the people are not asking for a hell of a lot.
I mean, yep.
They're asking for a nice home, a good relationship, a good career. Those are all doable things.
Yeah, these are not major things. They're not asking, you know, to win Powerball or anything. So.
No. Those are the kind of things. It's like, you know, I figure God's not going to give me my fortune that easily. I got to work my ass for it each and every day. But that's okay. I would even if I won Powerball, I'd still work 6 days a week. So that's me. So what can I tell you?
Yeah, me too. Me too. Ironically enough, me too. So.
And I see you've screened someone, and if you could be so kind.
Of course, Cindy. All right. We are actually going to move on to Jamie, who is also in New York with us, Cindy.
Okay, good.
And basically, her husband moved to Arizona about a year ago. And then that was pertaining to his work, to a job. And basically, as a result of that move, they've been undergoing some relationship stress and just overall problems within the relationship. You know, obviously, it being a long-distance relationship now. And, Jamie is just looking for a little bit of guidance as far as what you see in their future. You know, are they going to be able to pull this together? So let's hear from Jamie in New York. Hello, Jamie. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Cindy?
Hi, Jamie. That's enough to strain anybody's relationship. I mean, that's quite a distance from New York.
Yeah, it's been really difficult.
Your husband does love you very much, by the way, but the long distance is really starting to take a strain. There's no way you can go to him, and, you know, how long do you want to keep the long distance thing going? Because it looks like he's having more trouble than you are, actually. Are you aware of that?
I'm not really aware of that because I've offered to basically shut down the house and come out there. He had looked for a home for us, maybe to rent, and he was very hesitant and kind of backed off. And then, I don't know, he sort of got involved with another...
He's having an affair. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but at this point, he is having an affair, and you're being asked, you know, like, if he doesn't want you to go there,
mm-hmm.
and he wants his cake and eat it too, and as a sisterhood of women, we have to tell men, you know, it's not okay to have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
And he wants to just see how this plays out. And, you know, if this doesn't work out, then he's still got you. And you're almost being, see, you're an older soul. And when people tell us a little bit of truth, well, maybe I'm seeing somebody or maybe it's a little something, it's been going on for a while. And because he told you a little bit of truth, now you're sort of like an accomplice in his crime. And, you know, you're at this point, there's a man who's dead who knows him very well, who wasn't old when he died. Do you know who that is?
No.
Because this person seemed to have known your husband when he was growing up. And, you know, he's been, I always need a dead person to observe a situation.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, do you still want your husband?
Well, I had tried to work it out, and, you know, he told me he wasn't seeing her anymore, but I don't know if he's just emotionally still entangled.
No, he's still seeing her. This is a full-blown affair here.
Okay.
See, you're long distance. It's easy for him to, like, bullshit, and older souls, it's very easy for people to lie to us because we've been brainwashed to believe people tell the truth.
Right.
He's not telling the truth, and... Do you know his dad at all?
Yes.
Because this man has judged his own father
mm-hmm.
at some level. And, you know, some of the behavior you're seeing is things he swore he'd never do.
Right.
But he's certainly doing them. And he's lying to sort of both of you, by the way.
Okay.
He's telling her that he's asked for a divorce. He's telling you he's not seeing her. And, you know, this man's just trying to see, you know, which way things are going to go. But you have a very, very, you know, you have the world spinning now. You have some choices to make that what's best for you. You have children?
Yes.
You have a son?
Yes.
Because what's going on, your son has a grandfather who's dead?
Yes, he does.
Okay, that's your dad?
Yeah.
Because your dad is saying... Do you want to teach your son that it's okay for men to have their cake and eat it too? Your dad is livid watching this. Your dad is a person saying, I want you to love yourself the way I love you. Would you want someone to be doing this to your daughter?
No, no.
And do you want to teach your son that men can do this?
No, definitely not.
And that's why your dad, you know, your dad's a little bit apologetic to you. Do you know why he would apologize to you?
Well, I feel that he was, you know, very pro us, our relationship, and me marrying him. So maybe that's
and why. Right, because now your dad has seen a lot of things that he's not so happy about. He's telling you now, I was a fool. You didn't make your bed, you have to sleep in it, because your father is really, 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 really angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're a person who's got to not play victim and pretty much say you're making your choice. It's, you know, it's her and me at this point, and you need to proceed with some divorce papers. This man thinks he's got all the time in the world to figure out what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've been pretty good trying not to air a lot of this in front of your children.
Yes.
But they know something's up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have to be strong on this. And, you know, he's lying to her. He's lying to you. He has no intention of returning anytime soon here.
Okay.
So is he helping with the finances of the house where you're living?
Yeah, he's still providing for that.
Okay, because he doesn't want to lose the house.
Right.
And, you know, there is... It's you are a little afraid to start over because now you're going to have to get out in the dating world here. And, you know, sometimes having the devil we know is better than, not, you know, starting over. But there's
right.
a really nice man in the future for you. And at this point, you've got to get the blinders off. And, you know, you're not going to be mad at him anymore. You know, we're never mad at the people who are cheating, lying on us after a while. They might as well get away with murder if they can. We're mad at ourselves. For tolerating it.
Right.
And when he went to Arizona, did you know that he had already been contacting this woman long distance?
No, I don't believe that that was the case.
It appears that he had a long distance thing going on via the internet prior to this. So he went out to try to see if this works, and if it doesn't work, he's coming back. What you don't know won't hurt you is his feelings.
Right.
And because he's a man who can't be alone. Are you aware of that?
Absolutely.
So all of a sudden, this man who you're mommy to a boy who's never grown up can go across the country by himself without a woman being there?
Mm-hmm.
His personality, your father's saying, get the blinders off. He can't, you know, he needs a woman at all times. He would have never had the balls to go over there, your dad's saying.
Right.
And this is you realizing that this man is, you know, is just not who you thought he was. And, you know, you've been with him like 25 years or something?
It'll be 30 in May.
Okay, because your dad said the marriage was over at the 25-year mark.
Okay.
He hasn't been the same man for a while. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, somewhat.
And relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. You're at 6 5-year cycles. It's Valentine's Day, and you're going to spend it alone while he's in Arizona with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to spend another Valentine's Day like that?
No, I don't.
And, you know, you have to overcome some of your own fears at this point. I mean, if you're not ready to divorce him because, you know, you're not ready for that, move on with your life. I mean, he thinks you're waiting there for him. I mean, maybe
right.
he'd get a little more nervous if he thought you were moving on, too.
Right.
He trusts you. He knows you're old-fashioned. Your dad raised you very old-fashioned, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And your dad's kicking himself for that one. Because, you know, your husband, you can say to your husband, it's fine, you're there, I'm here, and I'm moving on. Because he really, right now, doesn't think he has anything to lose.
Right.
He thinks you're waiting for him. You also have a daughter?
Yes.
Because do you want your daughter to think it's okay for men to cheat?
No, absolutely not. I've been trying to get this through to my husband, but, you know, he doesn't seem to get it.
Well, because he's not here, you know, isn't it funny? He goes across the world to do this, so, you know, your kids don't see it in front of them.
Right.
And he looks like the noble father going across the country to support his family. Doesn't it look so nice? The narcissist makes it all look so good. Look at all the sacrifices he's making.
Right.
And, I mean, the woman he's with, that relationship's going to turn really toxic because she just wants a man to fit a plan, this one. She just wants somebody to support her. And you know, she's not a particularly nice person. He hasn't seen all of her colors.
Right.
But he's going to come back and say he's decided to come back to you because he misses his family.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that this man doesn't do anything unless it's best for him.
Right. Do you see a time frame for this toxic relationship being, you know, revealed?
Your father's saying we'd make it tomorrow, but we just want you to wake up and smell the coffee and move on. Because at this point, this woman is your best friend, because this is a man who you now know who he is.
Right.
And, you know, did he spend a lot of time on the internet when he was living with you?
I don't think it was that much, but, you know, he could have been spending time at the office on the internet that I didn't know of.
Because he was, by the way. So this is, for your children's sake, you know, this is something that you're going to, just be strong on this. And I know it looks like you spend a lot of time crying at night and you're upset and you're depressed. You didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, this is a man who lies and lies a lot. Are you aware of that?
No.
Because you're naive. I mean, he is a man who's not telling the truth anywhere right now. And maybe he's having a midlife crisis or maybe he's whatever, but that's not really your problem. And, you know, as far as you go, you have a very good year ahead of you in spite of him. Just move forward. Do you work, Jamie?
No.
Okay, because part of it is that's why he can get away with his murder.
Right.
Because in some ways you're thinking, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to whatever? Well, he'd have to give you 5 years maintenance while you're trying to find a new career or a new life.
Okay.
You know,
is that the obligation for him?
It probably will be ruled because you've been a stay-home mom most of the time.
Yes.
Normally, it's like no fault, but he will probably have to give you 5 years maintenance.
Okay.
He won't have to give you more than that, but, you know, he'll have to, you know, first of all, the man's hiding money, so trying to find out what he actually has is going to be a problem. But in terms of the house and things like that, that would have to be decided. But it looks like you would be okay financially.
Okay.
Don't trust him about money, because he's going to tell you he didn't make any money, doesn't have any money. That's why I said you don't really know him. He's very shrewd. He's a very shrewd man. He always comes out on top, or he thinks he does.
Right.
And just because you've been a stay-at-home mom, you're doing traditionally what women have had to do. They had to stay with men for money no matter what. The men got away with murder. They were the masters and women were the slaves.
Right.
And right now you're being mommy to a bad boy. At this point, don't play victim. Children are victims. You're not a victim. You're going to be proactive. You're going to say, look, I'm getting a divorce. I'm filing papers. You're going to figure out what you're going to do here. But I'm not going to sit back and allow this to happen. He's going to hate it because he doesn't want to divide his property. Right now he just as soon... And I'll tell you what happens. We've had enough lifetimes where our energy bodies know how to kill somebody. You do this to a good person. You lie to them. Eventually, they die of cancer, heart disease, or autoimmune disorder. This man would just as soon stall this all out. And if you drop dead, then he gets everything.
Right.
Don't give him that satisfaction. Your dad is saying, over his dead body, do you get sick over this situation?
Okay.
You know, the sooner you call him up and say the jig is up, I want a divorce, I'm filing for papers, and he's going to say, don't, we can't afford it. I'm going to say, oh, yes, we can. Let's see how fast he gets his ass on a plane from Arizona and tries to tell you a whole pack of lies.
Okay.
So, you know, you can't sit there and just let him call all the shots, because don't you feel now that he's the master and you're the slave to him?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling, and that's why you need to start taking it like a grown-up and saying, look, you've made your choice, you have this woman, I'm okay about it, I really don't care at this point. but I'm not sitting here waiting and look like an idiot in front of my children, nor am I showing them this is okay, your behavior. So you better figure out financially what we're doing. And your children are all over the age of 18?
Yes, they're 20. They're twins.
Okay, so this is a pretty easy divorce then at this point because there's no custody battle.
Right.
And if you really get the ball going, it could move very quickly. And that's going to scare him because this woman he's lying to, he's saying that he's asking for a divorce, but you don't want it because he doesn't really want to marry her either.
Okay.
So he can string her along this way. So, you know, just do what you have to do, and your dad is really crying up there.
Do you think I should show up there unannounced?
You could show up there unannounced and serving some divorce papers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you went there, you know, he's with her all the time, by the way. You would see him with her. I don't know if that's going to make you feel better, if you need to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you could do that. You could certainly show up unannounced. But the serious talk is, you know, you're stuffing down anger. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And that's what older souls do. They don't think anger is a valid emotion. If this were your daughter's husband, how angry would you be?
Oh, I'd be extraordinarily angry.
Okay, can you see, isn't that the proper response?
Yes.
And that's why, you know, figure out your strategies. I would advise you to go to a lawyer.
Okay.
And do you have like a credit card you could put that fee on?
Yeah.
Okay, just put it on a credit card. It's your husband's, he's going to have to pay it. Go to a lawyer and start getting papers drawn up. He really needs to see that you're not the little girl he married. You're now a grown-up woman. If your dad were here, he'd be taking you to the lawyer tomorrow, by the way.
Okay.
You know, I know you know that your dad was old school and probably would have told you on earth you made your bed, sleep in it.
Right.
He does not agree with that now.
Okay.
And, you know, you're feeling like your hands are tied and you know what to do. Really, you're the one in the position of power right now. He's not. And, you know, your children are getting depressed over the situation. Are you aware of that?
I know my son is. I'm not sure about my daughter.
She most certainly is. And they know that your dad's not playing, that your husband's not playing fair with you and that their father's not playing fair. Mm-hmm. They're going to forgive their father eventually. They might not forgive you for, like, allowing him to do this.
Okay.
So, you know, you have really a very good 5-year period opening up as soon as you start moving forward.
Okay.
And, you know, just don't believe a word he says because he's going to lie. He's going to tell you what you want to hear and he's going to do what he wants.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Can you do us a favor and call back in and let us know how things are playing out?
Sure. I just want to ask you one other
sure.
question. You said you saw somebody in my future for me?
Absolutely.
Do you know how far out that is?
It looks like not tomorrow because the universe needs you to learn to stand on your own 2 feet without a man.
Right.
A little bit so that you won't make excuses for abuse. I mean, you went from the property of your father to the property of your husband.
Right.
You need to own yourself a little bit. But it's going about your business now, you know, going to get the lawyer, going to start to go back to school or whatever you're going to be doing, you will meet this person.
Okay.
And you don't want to be so that you meet him tomorrow and then your husband's going to say, you left me for another man, because he'll turn and twist everything at this point.
Right, right.
You want to make sure you're the one who walks out, you know, with the clean hands.
Right.
But it is coming. It's probably within a year or so. So, you know, just get moving forward with your life.
Okay. Did you come up with a name of any? Or
no, I don't like to give men's names particularly because there's way too many Mikes, Joes, and phonies.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The next mic you meet, you'll say, oh, that's him. And meanwhile, he's the sex addict in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so,
yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Oh, really, women, you know, have many more names, but men, there really aren't that many different names. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's a Tom, Dick, and a Harry, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Boy, Nicole, I could hear you just wanting to, like, speak up through that whole thing.
I know. I really feel for Jamie. You know, that's a terrible, terrible situation, you know, to be put in, you know, especially, like, to know, and being that there's so much distance between them, you know, there it really is difficult for her just to be, you know, affirm, you know, just like, I guess, affirmative with, you know, with what she wants and you know, and to just put out there what she wants, because she's got somebody being dishonest so far away, and she can't even look in his eyes to use that woman's intuition. You know, it's a difficult, difficult situation for her to be, you know, to be put in. You know, I really, really feel for her.
Yeah, no, it's terrible, isn't it? But again,
well,
because of the internet, I see this a lot.
Yeah.
Women, men who are saying, I'm going to business somewhere else, and the woman's lined up there.
No,
you know
what? I'm not even going to say that that's how her husband entered into it, you know, because, I mean, there are, let's face it, you know, the economy is doing whatever it's doing, and people do get into a stir. People are panicking a little bit, you know, so is the likelihood that he really just took this opportunity, you know, just
oh, boy,
for the
are you nice, Nicole.
No, you know what? I'm saying it's possible. I'm not saying that that's it all the time. There is a possibility that began it.
Yeah,
but
that's,
you know,
not
what?
His personality. The truth of the matter
well,
was
you know
the fact that he
here,
can...
obviously things have changed, and instead of just being a man about it and saying, hey, you know what? I'm in a different place right now. I'm in a different situation, you know, and although I love my family, you know, I really would rather be here right now. He's choosing to hurt his children, and he's choosing to hurt his wife. And I don't care who you are. There is never, ever an excuse to be careless with somebody else's heart, ever.
Exactly. And that's why I said I wouldn't have known that piece of information about what he was up to, except the father knows this man very well and has observed it and knows his personality. And again, if, you know, suddenly your husband, who can never be without you, you know, is so brave to go across the country, you know, check up on it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you know. And, I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, let's face it. You know, for any woman who's ever been in a situation where she thought that her spouse or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is, you know, for anybody that has ever been put in that situation, let's face it, if you have to ask the question, you already know the answer. Chances are you know the answer because you're physically able to see the person, you're able to look into their eyes, and you're able to use that gut instinct to say, you know what, something's not right. Poor Jamie has it so much harder because all she has is a voice on a phone.
Right, exactly, and because she's a very trusting, kind woman.
Use that instinct in the way that people can, you know. I mean, you know, that are not in her circumstance, you know. So it really is a damn shame, you know, and it's a terrible situation to be in, and, you know, we wish her the best of luck.
Absolutely. Now, I know you've been screening, so we're going over to Atlanta, I think. Can you share that with us?
We are going to go and speak to Kevin in Atlanta right now. And he wants to basically know, he's got a very, very strong feeling that somebody on the other side is helping him. And they want him to do something, but he's unsure as to what that is. So, you know, he feels very, very confident in the fact that there is somebody that is trying to reach him from the other side, Cindy, and he really, really just needs your guidance in kind of deciphering what that message is. So we're going to go over to Atlanta, Georgia, and speak to Kevin. Hello, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Nicole summarized that up pretty well. I'm very certain that I'm being helped, assisted, as we struggle in our life's situations here on this side of eternity. And I feel as though someone on the other side is helping me. It may be a relative, probably someone that I don't even know or never even met. But whoever it is, I'm very grateful. But I think there's something that I am supposed to act upon, and
I'm not getting it.
You know, it's when we see a fly, it keeps on hitting that window and it can't get out. And I kind of feel a little bit like that. But this, whoever it is on the other side, is very redemptive and has helped me in the past when I didn't realize. And then looking at, in retro, just thinking it over, I realized that I didn't get out of these situations on my own. And I think they're trying to get my attention. And I
exactly.
need to know what...
You have, I got, the first card I got was the Magician card, and have a little like halo over it, the sign for infinity, which means you're definitely getting a lot of divine guidance. The problem is that divine guidance contradicts the Judeo-Christian tradition oftentimes, because we've been sort of told to turn the other cheek, to be slap silly, to fix people, to forgive people easily, and sometimes divine guidance is telling us the opposite. It's telling us enough is enough. It's telling us, you know, this person's lying and you may not see it. So you have guidance just trying to open your eyes. You're a genuinely nice person. Are you aware of that?
No, but I'll accept that.
And, you know, nice people tend to want to believe what's in front of their face. They want to believe what people are saying. You have more than one person giving you guidance, by the way. One of them that's a very strong voice is a grandfather. I'm not sure if that grandfather was gone before you were gone. Is there one that died before you were born?
Yes, one died probably years before I was born, and the other one died when I was probably 5 or 6.
Because the grandfathers are very strong voices. The one who died before you is the strongest voice, because he was the man who gifted you to your family. When we die, we're allowed to gift the world to someone to love.
I just got his photo for the first time in my life last week. It came to me. I asked for family photos, and lo and behold, that one was emailed to me. So I know who you're talking about.
And that's the man, because he spoke with you. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 63.
Okay, so you're like, you know, my generation. Okay, we don't remember the souls that we spoke to before we came down to Earth, but the children being born now, the 3- and 4-year-olds, we'll look at a picture of their dead grandpa and say, I know him. He told me about mommy and daddy. They're a generation that's being given a great gift. They're remembering the life prior to this one, which I think is going to make life a hell of a lot easier for them, because they're already going to know the voice that's speaking, because your grandpa had spoken to you in spirit. He had explained your family to you and your life mission. And so from the day you were born, he was the voice you always heard. Like, say, where baby's crawling around and your mom's not looking, and he says, you would hear him say, stay away from the staircase. You would not know where that voice came from, but you have trusted it all of your life. He's a very, very strong voice, as is with your other grandfather. And they're watching over from afar. Your mom is still here?
No. She passed away.
Because there's a woman who knows your mom up there. It's probably her mom speaking about your mother. Your mom is a little reluctant to talk, but your parents didn't have a very good marriage or something.
Right.
Because your mom is apologetic for having showed you that kind of a relationship.
I understand.
Your mom is trying to say your dad isn't the total bad guy. She shouldn't have tolerated so much stuff. And by the grace of God, you were an older soul born into dysfunction. And pretty much, I think you might agree with me. If God asks me again, I'm occupying heaven. I'm saying, excuse me, God, it's a free will universe. I don't have to be wronged to those crazy people anymore. I don't have to go down to earth. You might not have agreed to be born into them, but you were a good person that couldn't really have been corrupted. You came knowing right from wrong, but your mom is really genuinely sorry.
I understand what you're saying.
And, you know, you are a person who tried, you know, to not judge her very much. And remember, it was different times. Women, you know, they really had to stay with men. I mean, you heard the caller before us.
I know. I understand.
And that's kind of your mom's position. Do you know what I mean? Your mom was like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And
I mean, you're correct. You're correct. I understand that.
Okay. So, you know, if you can understand how our show works, is every message, if people would be just listen through the show, a caller before is almost the voice of your mom saying, we need to, you know, to really have done better things and shown better things, but your mom genuinely loves you. So you've got your mom. Your mom is just saying, Kevin, get the blinders off. People aren't all good. There's plenty of bad. And it's not bad if you walk away from someone who's a family member who's hurting you. It's okay. You can leave. And you've got your mom. You've got your two grandpas. Your dad, you isn't in a realm that you would really want to access, in all honesty. I don't think he would be the best guider of you. So,
I understand.
So, you know, you've got your two grandpas, you got your mom, but basically they're just telling you, get the blinders off and see what's in front of your face. There's a situation you're not seeing clearly, and maybe you don't want to see it clearly. But nothing bad in your cards. It's just, you know, they just want you to realize when enough is enough.
I don't know if that really fits me on there. Maybe it is on some sort of emotional level. But I've lately I've had new energies coming into me. My brothers have told me that I'm in better shape now than I was when I was in the Marines during Vietnam. And all of a sudden, I feel the urge to eat properly, to exercise properly. And lo and behold, I got in my uniform, and it's too loose. So I am in better shape, but I just feel this new energy, this new vitality.
And that's because you're the living testimony. We're a generation that we can prove. And let's even look at Madonna's dancing at, you know, 53 years old. It isn't age that makes us ache and have aches and pains or get fat or get out of shape. You know, some people have never been in shape. If you're looking at the younger generation who's 15 and they've been eating nothing but junk, they've never been in shape. That self-love that you're feeling is definitely coming from your mom.
Okay.
She's telling you love yourself, and you're proving that you just took the clock backwards and that you're aging very well. And that self-love is really divine guidance. What was sort of, you know, channeled out of older souls is the self-love. We don't have enough self-love. We take too much crap. We tolerate too much, and you've come to that place of self-love. And continue to hear that guidance. And you are very psychic yourself, by the way.
I kind of auto-write. What I was hoping you would say, because this is what I really want. I mean, I flutter when these things happen, is that I'm in the Big Brothers program, and I haven't got a little brother yet that we connect. My biggest issue with these young lads is taking personal responsibility, and their parents or their mothers won't assist me. And, you know, they miss meetings and stuff like this. But what I really get excited about is I'm thinking eventually adopting someone.
Well, there's children in the picture. Do you have children at all now?
I have two adult daughters.
Okay, because there are children already. And would you want to adopt an older child?
I think so, because of my age.
Right, and that's definitely some guidance here to adopt an older child. And it definitely looks very promising. You have a friend who died in Vietnam. Do you know who that is?
Would you say that again?
A friend of yours who died in Vietnam, a man you worked with, I mean, that you were in Vietnam with?
It didn't happen there.
No, it happened afterwards, but still indirectly from Vietnam. You know,
happened in the Middle East, yeah.
Okay, because he is also the one who's telling you to adopt, a child, but it's definitely older. It could be a foster child more than adoption. You may be a foster parent.
Right.
And that's something that you should, you know, that would be definitely, you know, an important thing to be doing. And again, you know, the one guidance that you're getting is you're not going to rescue these kids or save them. They're going to have to save themselves. You can be there. You could show them the way. But if you're going to go in there thinking you're going to be able to save somebody, you might find yourself really hurt. You know, you're a messenger. You're going to deliver a message of love. Like, look, you had a pretty crappy father from what your mother's saying. And you don't blame your father. So, you know, we're responsible for who we are today, regardless of what kind of parents we had. But some children are going to be, you know, you might, you know, take them into foster and they're going to blame their parents and they're never going to be better. So go in there knowing that you're there to guide and help, but not necessarily fix or rescue.
Okay.
Because it's a different energy. You know, I'm a tarot card reader. I'm a messenger. I deliver messages to people. What they do with them, I could care less. I'm not here to rescue them. If I thought that, I'd be scraping myself off the floor every day. You know, being a foster parent would be very, very important to you. But, you know, and again, it is your friend, the man that you know from Vietnam who's speaking. And that's a lot of guidance there. So try for that foster. I mean, you know, Big Brother is a hard program because you are dealing with parents, you know, let's face it. And you're dealing with the whole dysfunction there. But are you thinking of seriously looking into it this year?
I am, but I cannot do it financially. I write in my auto writing that I really want to do this, and I'm willing to do this, and I think this is the reason why I've got this surge of new energy in me. But I said, you know, you're going to have to place the financial situation in there for me to afford to do this. Because
well, foster children, you usually do get some money to have them in your home, correct? Rather than adoption?
Yeah.
You might think about a foster child.
Okay.
And that's a nice trial period and see what it is. I know I have many clients who have taken on many foster children in their lives. It's a very, very rewarding thing to do, especially for older children because nobody really wants them.
I understand, yeah.
And again, it may be hard for you because they're going to maybe be in your life for a brief period of time and then pass through it, some, you know, or stay longer. But whether you adopt or they're foster, it won't make much difference. So, you know, definitely you are getting a lot of divine guidance. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
And let us know what happens with you because you have such great energy surrounding you. Keep keeping your body healthy because we really can be healthy all of our lives if we want to. You know, and if we take the effort to eat properly and work out and, you know, stay in shape and that you're just right there showing things in, that are important.
Yeah, it just seems the things that most people struggle over, I don't. I don't say that with hubris. I just get this feeling from time to time and I act upon it. Like when I turned 50, I just said, I won't drink alcohol anymore. And then when I decide to lose weight, it's not a whole lot of drama because before I do it, I mentally prepare myself for it, and then everything sort of melts away in front of me.
Exactly. Well, it's easy to lose weight or stop drinking when it comes from a place of self-love. When it comes from a place of self-hatred, I'm fat, I look awful, I'm a drunk, that's hard. When we love ourselves enough to take care of ourselves, I mean, I know my philosophy has always been because I had such a hard childhood and I'm thinking if I ever get out of that household alive, I'm never going to do anything to make myself sick or be in pain. So it just came from a practical purpose. You know, life is full of enough pain. I don't need to eat improperly, drink, or do things that are going to make me sick and life be more painful than it has to be. So, you know, taking care of ourselves is a place of self-love, and that's where you're coming from. So wherever, you know, you've got your mom loving you like crazy from up there, and you've got your grandparents loving you and your friend from Vietnam and a host of other ancestors and people that you maybe don't even know are gone. So it's, you know, loving yourself, and that's the most important thing, that you're coming from that place of self-love.
Do you see finances changing for the better?
Okay. Now, you know, anybody listening there, this man has told us when he wants to manifest health, he just has to see it, visualize it, and it happens. It's the same thing with finances. Because it's outside of yourself at some level, you don't realize you still have that same ability to manifest. And, you know, money is neither good nor bad. So sometimes we just have some money issues. If, you know, I know with my parents, their marriage was good until they had financial problems, and then it was like hell. And then I've watched all of my brothers and all of us have money issues because of that. We need to, like, overcome our money issues that we learned as children, because sometimes that's what's keeping us from manifesting. And so if you could visualize yourself with great abundance financially, the universe could guide your steps that way, too. For some reason, you don't seem to think the same principles that you do for losing weight could work for money.
And it can.
So, you know, most people think, oh, God, it's a bad economy. I can't control that. I can't. Look, all I've known is I've always had to make money. I've always had to support myself. I've never not made money in my entire life. It was one of those things I knew I had to do. I don't care what the economy is doing. I got to make money. And you need to just see that. It doesn't matter what the economy. Stop having people say, I'm 63, I'm too old, I can't make money. If you think you're too old, then you are too old. You just said yourself you're better shape than you were when you were younger. You're feeling healthy and vital. So start realizing, I mean, even taking in a few foster kids, you will be paid for that. There's no reason you can't be paid for noble work. Do you understand that? And it doesn't mean you're going to make a fortune. It's just going to be basically help you with those kids. And you know, we need to, you know, God knows we need money. I don't care how enlightened I am. I'm going to freeze out there without a house. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to starve to death without food. So noble work needs to be rewarded just as much as any other work. So, you know, I think you have some money issues you could work on. And,
right.
You know, it probably linked to your childhood, by the way.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we think, oh, money's the root of all evil. No, if you got a lot of money, you can do a lot of good with it too, you know. You know,
yeah.
We can't be charitable if we don't have a pot to piss in. You know what I mean? So, you know, start believing that you're going to manifest money and watch that happen. And if you're a person who does automatic writing, which I know you said you did, you might want to pay a little more attention to what's being told in that automatic writing.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and please call in again and let us know what's happening in your life, because you definitely have such good energy and you've shared such insightful things for any of our listeners. And, you know, we appreciate you sharing that with you.
Thank you so much, and good luck to you and Nicole.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Nicole, I know we don't have too much time left here because I know my time is off. So, you know, I think we should maybe just wind down tonight. And, Nicole, do you have anything to add? I think maybe Nicole got knocked off today. So I'm just going to say a shout-out for Nicole because we sort of have a technical problem here. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful, happy Valentine's Day. We're going to wish luck to Jamie, and she definitely has love coming her way. She was so brave to share her story with us. It's not an unusual story, unfortunately. And all of you, wishing you a happy Valentine's Day and lots of love in the upcoming week. Bye.